All right. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry I was gone yesterday. Just can't seem to shake this, either viral or bacterial or whatever the hell it is, cold. Like I said, it's either that or lung cancer, although my doctor seems to think it's just a real nasty infection. And earlier this evening, I had a talk with Anita Drobny, who is our CEO. And she said, "You're not going on the air tonight." After listening to me on the phone, I said, "Yeah, I got to." She said, No. Take another night off." I said, No. I've got to get on the air." So what we're going to do tonight is 2 hours, first 2 hours of the show, and then we're going to rebroadcast, I believe, the first hour. So, all right? Okay. What's been fun to watch, though, on the internets is all the conspiracy stuff going around. "Well, you know, Randy's off the air, and now Malloy's off the air. What's going on?" I'm sorry. I can get as tinfoil hat as anybody else, but good God in heaven. Come on, folks. Ease up. Where it concerns, "Oh, Nova M this and Randy that." Come on, take a break. There's some serious business between Randy Rhodes and management. It has nothing to do with anything that I have seen on any of these web pages. Nothing. It's internal company business, and frankly, it's nobody's business except the people involved. I don't know why I'm going off on this. I get so tired of seeing this stuff, you know? There's some real problems out there. Why don't you focus on that? So again, let me say that every conspiracy theory I've seen on every website, every message board, including hers, has it 100% wrong. I'm going to drop it. That's internal company stuff, and nobody cares about that. Not in the real world. I mean, you know. So it's come out now. Wall Street and the financial thugs don't like the Obama plan. And neither do the corporate news readers on the networks and most of them on the cable channels. And it's real entertaining. It's starting to become entertaining to watch these dumb bastards flail and flounder around. It's also entertaining to watch Barack Obama finally start to realize, I think, that cooperation from these filthy Republicans is absolutely never going to happen. He's got the majorities that he needs. He's got three Republicans in the Senate who, as they did the Senate version of the whatever the hell you want to call it, the financial crisis plan, three Republicans who are willing to cross over if you cut certain things. That's Colin Snow and Specter. So, I really do think, this is just my little personal opinion, that Barack Obama ought to just forget about these filthy, stinking Republicans. They're just like the Republicans back in 93, who launched just a full-scale attack on Clinton because of his tax increases when they were desperately needed. And we know what happened in the 90s. Now, you can say, "Yeah, but look what happened. It all crashed." That had nothing to do with Clinton. That had to do with the speculation that resulted from, Clinton made a big mistake in 96 when he, or 90, yeah, 96 was it, when he signed the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. And I'm the first to admit that. He never should have done it. But remember, Clinton was a Republican. I don't care what the D after his name, he was a Republican. So here go these slime balls, these worms that now constitute and have constituted the Republican Party for the past 25 years. The fact that they are doing everything they can to make negative what this president is trying to do is becoming comical. It really is. The leaders of the Republican Party, Sarah Palin, Joe the Plumber, and Rush Limbaugh, are almost amusing to watch. Were all this stuff not so serious, it would be kind of amusing. But if Barack Obama were to call me this evening and say, "Mike, what should I do?" My advice would be simple. Ignore these bastards. Just ignore them. They don't mean anything. They have no value. Excuse me. I'm supposed to hit the mute button when I do that. I do apologize. They have no value whatsoever, Republicans. None. Especially Republicans in Congress. The Republicans in media are almost as bad, but they are just paid corporate shills. So if you want to listen to the network news and these guys on cable news have at it, but keep in mind that nothing they say is true. Absolutely nothing. What a bunch of rat bastards. But anyway, the best sign that the proposals may work is the fact that the financial industry and, you know, the thugs and corporate America, even though the Chamber of Commerce has endorsed this, as have the AFL-CIO, but never mind, the people who have made who make these public pronouncements, what they're saying doesn't matter. Forget about them. There's so many things that need to be done. And President Obama is going to move forward. And I hope he just forgets the kissy face with these jackasses in the House and the Senate. He does not need them. Just move ahead. Three stinking Republicans in the entire House and the Senate. Three have supported the efforts by the Obama administration to try to pull this country back from the brink. And that speaks volumes. So just like the attacks on Clinton yielded nothing, Clinton hanged himself when he started messing around with this, you know, with this, whatever, Monica Lewinsky. He hanged himself on that. And the Republicans, you know, for that, I just forever will hate him. What a jerk. You know, what an idiot, giving these rat bastard Republicans, the other Republicans, in addition to Clinton, all the ammunition they needed. So what is going on is a full frontal attack on these policies. And if Obama ignores them, I do believe there is a chance, a damn good chance of things succeeding. And 2 years from now and 4 years from now, when elections are held again, I think the people are going to realize that the Republican Party needs to be murdered. It needs to be taken out in a field and have its head cut off. It needs to be smothered, a knife in its heart. And that's the only thing that's going to save the United States, whether it is our whatever's left of our morality or our ethics or our financial stability or the so-called Great American Dream. In order for any of this to succeed, the Republican Party has to be smothered. It has become worse than useless. It has now become an absolute drag on everything. It needs to be murdered. Okay? And boy, do I mean that with from the bottom of my heart. Three Republicans out of all the Republicans in the House and Senate support the Obama plan. 76% of the public does. What does that tell you? So, and Obama now is starting to take on his critics. He made a show of reaching across the aisle, you know, since he was elected. He's got what, three Republicans in his cabinet. He's been inviting all this slime into the White House. God forbid his children should be around when these Republican slime come oozing into the White House. I hope he puts them upstairs somewhere and shuts the door to keep his children away from these negative bastards. But the other night, you know, I'm laying in bed watching the press conference. And we have some sound from that we're going to play for you tonight. But it occurred to me then, maybe, just maybe, this man is coming out of the ether and realizing that Republicans stink, and just getting close to them, corrupts anything, everything. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Change is unpermanent. But change. You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Well, you can turn up your speakers now. I mean, right? Now that we have left the land of the crazy people, at least we're trying to. So Obama has decided to take on some of these rat bastards who can do nothing for him. That is Republicans. He began yesterday a week of barnstorming that took him to Indiana the other day, Elkhart, Indiana, and today to Florida. And it was astonishing. The town hall meeting that he had today in Florida, where was that? In Lee County, Fort Myers? Yeah, I think it was Fort Myers. The town hall meeting that he had there after he gave, he gave a little speech and then he opened it up. And here's the interesting thing. This is true in Elkhart also. There's no screening process. Okay, they screen people that come in for weapons. But nobody is told to leave because of a T-shirt they're wearing. The questions don't have to be submitted first. The way it was in these filthy, goddamn Bush days. Boy, I am so glad that's over. Aren't you, huh? Those rotten, rotten Republicans. So with an Obama town hall meeting, it's more or less a real town hall meeting. People get to ask questions. Now, when I listened today, I didn't hear anything coming out of the ragged-ass mouth of some of these Republicans, I guess because they knew that if they opened their traps, the audience would probably descend on them and hang them from the nearest tree. So if there were Republicans in the audience, and one assumes there were, they shut up, which is what Republicans who aren't elected should do. The Republican Party needs to be murdered. If somebody wants to say, I'm a Republican, okay, just shut up, especially in these town hall meetings, which apparently they have decided to do. Because at neither the Elkhart, Indiana town hall meeting or the one today, did I hear any Republican little squeaky rat bastard standing, well, what about, these are people who are genuinely concerned about what to do. But the difference in listening to Obama, it's astonishing. Whether you agree with him or not, I put this on my little tiny eensy beatsy mini blog today. To hear a guy talk, the President of the United States, talk in complete sentences, paragraphs, be able to handle a multi-part a question with sentences that are compound sentences. You don't hear Barack Obama talking about things like go hunt him down, go find him, want him dead or alive, bring him on. You know, this garbage that came out of this George Bush's mouth for 8 years. Jesus, how did we survive that? So Obama is, I think he's waking up. Like he said at the news conference, it's a little hard for me to take criticism from folks about this recovery package after they presided over a doubling of the national debt. I'm not sure they have a lot of credibility when it comes to fiscal responsibility. Well, yeah, and it's about time. Obama is not going to be the type to get hard and tough and kick ass and take names. He's not going to do it. It's not his style. I think he's made that very clear. But I think what he could do, it's just ignore them. Ignore them. And get about the business of trying to undo the damage of 8 years of Bush and about 12 years of Republican control. And if he does that, if he just ignores these swine, I think he'll be way, way ahead of the game.
Leave that up.
What we're going to play for you here in a moment is six or seven sound clips from his primetime press conference last night. And I think not just the things he said, but the way he said them. I realize that this president is lacking in a whole lot of areas that liberals, real liberals or progressives, would like to see him not lack in. But for the most part, I can't help it. I will remain a critic of some of the policies or lack of policies, like a policy of going after these Republican bastards. I'll remain a critic of this administration. But I'm starting to feel like there's some leadership in the country again. It may be a little bit shaky here at the beginning, but dear God, I mean, after 8 years of the Bush bastards and these scum-sucking Republicans who were only there to enrich themselves, it is good to see somebody back in charge who seems to be truly concerned about the American people. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Triple-sided, tried to ride it, looked inside it, I can't find it, living in a perfect world. I touch the rocks, I touch the stones, it's the little things that break these bones, living in this perfect world.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, what we want to play for you is some of the clips from Obama's primetime press conference yesterday. And the amazing thing is the contrast. Not that Obama is not a great speaker on his own, but the contrast between this president and the previous one is just, I mean, we would not have had to deal with the decider had it not been for the Supreme Court on December 12th, 2000, who overthrew the Constitution, overthrew the government, and installed a piece of human waste as president, and then allowed him to surround himself, the Democrats allowed him to surround himself with neo-Nazis of the worst kind. I think history is going to tell the truth and identify the Bush years, the Bush presidency, as the worst in the history of this country in terms of what it did to the Constitution. You know, I don't give a damn about the other stuff, the economic stuff. Yeah, that goes in cycles. Blah, 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 blah. But what Bush did in terms of absolute criminality. Anyway, I digress. Obama speaks intelligently. He speaks in complete sentences with subject-verb agreement. He doesn't drift off on off topic or forget the question. So he, in contrast to the jackass that was there before him. So after his speech, he took some questions. Most of the questions revolved around the stimulus bill, naturally. And Obama finally took a few swipes at the Bush crime family's disastrous economic policy before he took questions. Before he took questions, this is from his opening remarks.
As we've learned very clearly, especially tax cuts that are targeted to the wealthiest few Americans, we have tried that strategy time and time again, and it's only helped lead us to the crisis we face right now.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we have come together around a plan that combines hundreds of billions in tax cuts for the middle class with direct investment in areas like health care, energy, education, and infrastructure. Investments that will save jobs, create new jobs and new businesses, and help our economy grow again, now and in the future.
And this is what the Republicans and the swine who occupy the newsreader chairs, or like this pig on Morning Joe, Scarborough and his sidekick, Mika Brzezinski, who has certainly turned out to be a disappointment. But this is what they are doing, attacking him. You know, I do believe the guy wants to, within the strictures, within the framework, the parameters that he has to work within, I think he really, really wants to turn things around. Why wouldn't he? He's not a Republican. Why wouldn't he want to turn things around? He takes some questions from the press here. As a matter of fact, it went on for about an hour. This reporter asked, "Mr. President, earlier today in Indiana, you said something striking. You said that this nation could end up in a crisis without action that we would be unable to reverse. Can you talk about what you know and what you're hearing that would lead you to say that our recession might be permanent when other recessions in our history have not?"
This is not your ordinary run-of-the-mill recession. We are going through the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We've lost now 3.6 million jobs, but what's perhaps even more disturbing is that almost half of that job loss has taken place over the last 3 months, which means that the problems are accelerating instead of getting better. My bottom line is to make sure that we are saving or creating 4 million jobs. We are making sure that the financial system is working again, that homeowners are getting some relief. And I'm happy to get good ideas from across the political spectrum, from Democrats and Republicans. What I won't do is return to the failed theories of the last 8 years that got us into this fix in the first place, because those theories have been tested, and they have failed. And that's part of what the election in November was all about.
Boy, you bet that's what the election in November was all about. Even though 53 million dumbasses voted for more of the same, you know, torture me, beat me, kick me, but don't let the queers get married. Oh, my God. I can't believe so many. Well, yes, I can. Of course I can. We are a very dumb population, very stupid, very ignorant. Not you. Certainly not me. Not you. You know. You know what I'm talking about. He says he's happy to get good ideas from across the political spectrum. There are no good ideas coming from Republicans. Republicans are dealers in death, destruction, darkness. They're bums. They're freeloaders. They are not interested in doing anything good for this country or this economy. And again, when he says that's part of what the election in November was all about, you bet it was. The next reporter said, "You've often said that bipartisanship is extraordinarily important overall and in the stimulus package. But now, when we ask your advisors about the lack of bipartisanship so far, zero votes in the House, three in the Senate, they say, well, it's not the number of votes that matters. It's the number of jobs that would be created. Is that a sign that you are moving away, your White House is moving away from this emphasis on bipartisanship?"
I can't afford to see Congress play the usual political games. What we have to do right now is deliver for the American people. So my bottom line when it comes to the recovery package is, send me a bill that creates or saves 4 million jobs. Because everybody has to be possessed with a sense of urgency about putting people back to work, making sure that folks are staying in their homes, that they can send their kids to college. What I've been concerned about is some of the language that's been used, suggesting that this is full of pork and this is wasteful government spending, so on and so forth. First of all, when I hear that from folks who presided over a doubling of the national debt, then I just want them to not engage in some revisionist history. I inherited the deficit that we have right now, and the economic crisis that we have right now.
You're damn right. And the attitude of the reporter's question, you know, what a dumbass. What he says to the president, "You have often said that bipartisanship is important." And then who was this creep? It was probably Ed Henry or one of these other freaks. But he says, "Now when we ask your advisors about the lack of bipartisanship, they say, well, it's not the number of votes that matter." the number of jobs to be created. You're damn right. You know, why doesn't this little twit go ask the Republican leadership? Go ask Rush Limbaugh or Sarah Palin or Joe the Plumber. Go ask them, the leaders of the Republican Party, why they are obstructionist little bastards who are not going to do anything to rescue this country. Don't ask Obama, you jerk. He continues to answer the question about bipartisanship efforts on the stimulus package, and he shoots down so many of the tired old partisan neocon George Bush arguments.
When people suggest that what a waste of money to make federal buildings more energy efficient, why would that be a waste of money?
Really?
We're creating jobs immediately by retrofitting these buildings or weatherizing 2 million Americans' homes, as was called for in the package. So that right there creates economic stimulus. And we are saving taxpayers, when it comes to federal buildings, potentially $2 billion. In the case of homeowners, they will see more money in their pockets. And we're reducing our dependence on foreign oil in the Middle East. Why wouldn't we want to make that kind of investment?
Really?
Education. Yet another example. The suggestion is, why should the federal government be involved in school construction? Well, I visited a school down in South Carolina that was built in the 1850s. Kids are still learning in that school as best they can. It's right next to a railroad, and when the train runs by, the whole building shakes and the teacher has to stop teaching for a while. The auditorium is completely broken down. They can't use it. So why wouldn't we want to build state-of-the-art schools with science labs that are teaching our kids the skills they need for the 21st century, that will enhance our economy and, by the way, right now, will create jobs? So, you know, we can differ on some of the particulars. But again, the question I think the American people are asking is, do you just want government to do nothing, or do you want it to do something? If you want it to do something, then we can have a conversation. But doing nothing, that's not an option from my perspective.
You know, one of these enterprising little crack White House reporters ought to go to the Republican Party leadership and ask that question. Why wouldn't we want to build state-of-the-art schools or science labs that are teaching our kids the skills they need for the 21st century, that will enhance our economy and that will create jobs? Why wouldn't we want to do that? You know, why doesn't somebody ask the leaders of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, Joe the Plumber, and Sarah Palin, and you might want to throw in John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, ask these five halfwits, you know, why would we not want to do that?
Turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving, keep living our truth and do the best we can do, cause there's hope.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Back to the Obama primetime press conference the other night. Listen to Obama answer this question. And try to imagine Raisin Brain coming up, Bush, coming up with any kind of clear, coherent explanation of the economic mess we're in. The only answer the jackass could deliver was, Wall Street got drunk. What was the rest of your question? What a difference an election makes. The reporter said, in your opening remarks, you talked about that if your plan works the way you want it to work, it's going to increase consumer spending. But isn't consumer spending or overspending how we got into this mess? Now, let me pause. This again shows the absolute idiocy of these reporters. it wasn't consumer spending that got us into this mess. It was the people stopped saving, went on a credit binge. I mean, how can these White House reporters be so goddamn stupid to ask these kinds of questions? But Obama tries to answer. The reporter goes, isn't consumer spending how we got into this mess? And if people get money back into their pockets, do you not want them to saving it or paying down debt first before they start spending money into the economy?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's accurate to say that consumer spending got us into this mess. What got us into this mess initially were banks taking exorbitant wild risks with other people's monies based on shaky assets.
Right.
And because of the enormous leverage where they had $1 worth of assets and they were betting $30 on that $1, what we had was a crisis in the financial system. That led to a contraction of credit, which in turn meant businesses couldn't make payroll or make inventories, which meant that everybody became uncertain about the future of the economy. So people started making decisions accordingly, reducing investment, initiating layoffs, which in turn made things worse. Now, you are making a legitimate point, Chuck, about the fact that our savings rate has declined and this economy has been driven by consumer spending for a very long time. And that's not going to be sustainable. You know, if all we're doing is spending and we're not making things, then over time, other countries are going to get tired of lending us money, and eventually, the party is going to be over. Well, in fact, the party now is over.
Yeah. So maybe it's time to bring manufacturing jobs back into the United States, and by companies, entrepreneurs who are responsible, not these corporate pig bastards, these capitalists who don't care, who only seek a bottom line for them, rather than realizing that labor, organized labor, labor that makes a decent living, is the only thing that has ever driven this economy. Yeah, maybe it's time. But you know, the only answer the jackass could come up. Did you hear his answer? I mean, it's multifaceted. It's got subject, sub-subject. It's got context. It's got an explanation that even some idiot like Chuck Todd could understand. And it is so far removed from the Bush bastard standing there saying, Wall Street got drunk. What was the rest of your question? Jesus God. And that's what we would have. That's what we got from the jerk. That's all we ever got from him. My brain is starting to spin from the sense this guy is making. Hard to believe. Obama continues to explain the economic disaster and what it will take to recover, using complete sentences and not once forgetting what the topic was.
Our immediate job is to stop the downward spiral, and that means putting money into consumers' pockets. It means loosening up credit. It means putting forward investments that not only employ people immediately, but also lay the groundwork for long-term economic growth. And that's why passing the economic recovery plan is the right thing to do, even though I recognize that it's expensive. Look, I would love not to have to spend money right now. This notion that somehow I came in here just ginned up to spend $800 billion... Yeah, that wasn't how I envisioned my presidency beginning. But we have to adapt to existing circumstances. Now, once the economy stabilizes and people are less fearful, then I do think that we're going to have to start thinking about how do we operate more prudently, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. So if you want to buy a house, then putting zero down and buying a house that is probably not affordable for you in case something goes wrong, that's something that has to be reconsidered. So we're going to have to change our bad habits. But right now, the key is making sure that we pull ourselves out of the economic slump that we're in.
Can you imagine Bush even attempting an answer like that? That was the part that was just astonishing to me, is what the American public, for the most part, and this corrupted, filthy corporate media has become accustomed to over the past 8 years. What has passed for answers from the CEO of the United States or his piece of waste, Dick Cheney? And the reporters, these pigs, these little whiny, thumb-sucking bastards who constitute the White House press corps, who were warned, 8 years ago, don't ask questions out of line. Don't do anything. We'll allow some male prostitute come in here and ask questions, but you guys shut up. Don't ask the wrong question. And so they all obeyed. Every last goddamn one of them, with the exception of Helen Thomas, obeyed and refused to answer Bush or ask Bush questions of substance. The Obama administration has not said that to these little cowardly turkeys. So now, oh, they're coming up with the tough questions. Well, didn't spending get us into this? Jesus. Stick around. We have some more. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. This is the second and final hour of the program tonight. We're only doing 2 hours because of this persistent bronchitis, but I'll be back tomorrow night. Ian is going to replay the first hour so that the affiliates have the 3 hours filled up. It will just replay the first hour. A couple of emails here, and then back to the some of the comments that Obama made last night during his press conference. George writes, Mike, I don't know if you've watched Brian Williams on NBC News tonight, but it was quite a show. He interviewed our new Treasury Secretary with one of the other NBC drones, and it was amazing how tough they were trying to be. After 8 years of cowering and peeing their pampers every time the Bush bastards looked sideways at them, now they're trying to act like tough journalists. Williams is affable, but a journalist he isn't. He's just another media millionaire trying to look like he's doing his job. George. Oh, yeah. You know, that's the thing that is just disgusting to me. Disgusting. Just about everybody in television and about 95% of everybody in radio, they're cowards, they're weaklings. They do exactly what they're told by their corporate bosses. I don't know. Peter in Vermont writes, Mike, this may not be original, but Republicans should be declared terrorists under Bush-era presidential directives. They should be declared enemy combatants, as they have made it clear that they work for their party to the detriment of the nation. They should have been imprisoned for lengthy terms, where they should be waterboarded, but not have their genitals sliced. Okay, well, maybe Cheney. Peter in Vermont. God, that's assuming he has any. Merle from Michigan writes, Mike, I had to stop hanging drywall to let you know what the reason probably is as to why the Republicans want to eliminate education money. Alabama is 47th in the U.S. as of 2007 in education. Can you say, Senator Shelby? They want to eliminate education spending with this American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which will allow the lawmakers to keep the public ignorant. Same thing applies to why the Republicans don't want broadband to be expanded to rural America. Keep people ignorant. and keep them drinking the so-called Kool-Aid, and they will become the robot you want them to be. That means not questioning what is said nor done. An informed citizen could be a dangerous citizen for those who have ulterior motives. Ignorant citizens, and we have a bunch of them here in Ypsilanti, continue to vote against their best interests. That's the only reason the Republicans did the network shows, alternating to talk against President Obama. Some people can be led to the swamp and buy it to build a house on. Make no mistake that this is done by design, not by mistake. Merle from Michigan. Yeah, the things that the Republicans demanded be cut from the Recovery and Reinvestment Act are what you would expect a terrorist, the Taliban, a Christian terrorist, to be excluded from any public spending bill. Education, medical research. You know, when Barack Obama talked about building, refurbishing or rebuilding or building science labs in high schools, Jesus Christ, you know, every Christian fundamentalist in this country had their sphincter muscle tighten up. Oh, they're going to start teaching science again? Oh, no. God. Back to the press conference. Obama was also able to coherently answer questions on foreign policy. Without screaming, I'm the decider, or I could say war and peace, not you, or wanted, dead or alive, or bring them on, or I hit the trifecta. Isn't it amazing? This reporter asked a two-part question. Obama remembered both parts. You may not like the answer, but at least you can understand it. Reporter said, you promised to send more troops to Afghanistan. And since you've been very clear about a timetable to withdraw all combat troops from Iraq within 60 months, I wonder what's your timetable to withdraw troops eventually from Afghanistan? And related to that, there's a Pentagon policy that bans media coverage of the flag-draped coffins coming into Dover Air Force Base. You've promised unprecedented transparency and openness in your government. Will you overturn that policy so the American people can see the full cost, human cost of war?
With respect to the policy of opening up media to loved ones being brought back home, we are in the process of reviewing those policies in conversations with the Department of Defense. So I don't want to give you an answer now before I've evaluated that review and understand all the implications involved. With respect to Afghanistan, this is going to be a big challenge. I think because of the extraordinary work done by our troops and some very good diplomatic work done by Ambassador Crocker in Iraq, we just saw an election in Iraq that went relatively peacefully, and you get a sense that the political system is now functioning in a meaningful way. You do not see that yet in Afghanistan. They've got elections coming up, but effectively, the national government seems very detached from what's going on in the surrounding community. In addition, you've got the Taliban and Al-Qaeda operating in the Fatah and these border regions between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And what we haven't seen is the kind of concerted effort to root out those safe havens that would ultimately make our mission successful. So we are undergoing a thoroughgoing review. I do not have yet a timetable for how long that's going to take. What I know is I'm not going to allow Al-Qaeda or bin Laden to operate with impunity planning attacks on the U.S. homeland.
So I doubt that this president will ignore any presidential daily briefs that threaten a strike against the United States, right? He won't see it as a wonderful opportunity to seize control of the government, like the Bush son of a bitch did. Now, as far as his answer about Afghanistan, remember, who was it that said Afghanistan is where empires go to die? Was that Kipling? And very diplomatically, he says the national government of Afghanistan seems very detached from what's going on in the surrounding community. Probably the most corrupt government in South Asia is the government of the former UNICAO lobbyist, Hamid Karzai, the Bush bastard family's puppet, who was installed there, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. That government is so corrupt is to the point where the only area that they might still control is Kabul, the capital. Afghanistan has become a narco state. It is run as it has been for centuries by religious tribal leaders who will defeat any army that goes in there. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what army goes in. Whether it's Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, the Brits, the Russians, or the Americans, the Afghan tribal people will defeat any invading army. It has done so for 3,000 years, and it will continue to do so. Barack Obama needs to understand this, and I think, well, that's a very arrogant statement on my part. I'm sure he does understand it, but what he's dealing with is an arrogant, out-of-control military command under the slimy, sleazy grip of a General Petraeus. Petraeus is the type of ass-kisser or apple polisher who puts his career, he already has his fourth star. He is no more qualified to be the head of Central Command than I am, and I mean that. It was Petraeus, rumors are starting to come out now, who has been leaking and sending into the public domain anti-Obama comments coming from the military, which, if he goes much further, is going to constitute high treason. And Obama will have to take the necessary and unpleasant step of removing this son of a bitch from his command position. Harry Truman did it. Barack Obama can do it.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's 21 past the hour. I understand a couple of our affiliates may have joined this second hour a little bit later than they normally do, so you might have missed it. We're only doing 2 hours of the program tonight, and then for the third hour, Ian will rebroadcast the first hour, and that is because I sound like hell. Also, I forgot to thank Harrison on the Edge. Oh, my God. From KTLK. Is that, does he have a show there? Huh?
At Large in Hollywood.
At Large in Hollywood. Okay. Thanks to Harrison for substituting for me last night. You know, Harrison program is sort of like mine. You either love it or you hate it. Just like mine. But I love having him sub for me. And thanks, Harrison. I do appreciate it. Sorry I didn't mention that first hour. Where was I? Oh, yeah. We're talking about the... is this the last one? Yeah. The only comment he made or didn't make last night that I found kind of weaselly is this last one. And it's from Helen Thomas, who got in a question about Pakistan and nukes in the Mideast. Now listen to this this Q&A.
All right, Helen, this is my inaugural moment here. I'm really excited.
Mr. President, do you think that Pakistan and are maintaining the safe havens in Afghanistan for these so-called terrorists? And also, do you know of any country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons?
Well, I think that Pakistan, there is no doubt that in the Fatah region of Pakistan, in the mountainous regions along the border of Afghanistan, that there are safe havens where terrorists are operating. And one of the goals of Ambassador Holbrooke, as he is traveling throughout the region, is to deliver a message to Pakistan that they are endangered as much as we are by the continuation of those operations, and that we've got to work in a regional fashion to root out those safe havens. With respect to nuclear weapons, I don't want to speculate. What I know is this, that if we see a nuclear arms race in a region as volatile as the Middle East, everybody will be in danger.
And we don't have that a little ending on the soundbite. That was his, I believe that was his last the last question he took. But Helen Thomas tried to get his attention. But what about the Middle East? Now, you know what she was driving at, and the fact that the Israelis have, God only knows, how many nuclear bombs that they would use in either offense or defense. They have them, and I think everybody in the world knows it. But we're supposed to, we're not supposed to talk about that in the United States. So the only weaselly answer, greasy attitude from Obama all night was that one. He says, with respect to nuclear weapons, you know, I don't want to speculate. Well, Mr. President, you don't have to speculate. If you don't want to answer, maybe it would be nice to say that. Well, Helen, I don't want to answer that question for a number of reasons, and so I'm going to pass on it. But as far as speculate, come on. You know, before a new president takes over the office from the old regime, there is a sit-down with the security apparatus where the new president is briefed on everything, everything. He sits down with his incoming national security team and intelligence team, and they tell him everything, up to and including, given over to the new president, will be the so-called codes, the football, the codes for the release of nuclear weapons by the United States. And in those conversations, you can bet your ass that the outgoing crime family said to the incoming Obama administration, here are the countries that have nuclear weapons in case, you know, you have any questions about it. Here they are. These are the estimated number of nuclear weapons that they have in their possession. Here are the parameters within which we think they will stay regarding the use of their nuclear weapons, yada, yada, yada. And included in that, you know it, I know it, Barack Obama knows it, and Helen Thomas knows it. Included in that list, the Israelis, who probably have as many as 200, possibly more, nuclear weapons. So the only disingenuous or slippery, slimy answer that came out of him is, I don't want to speculate. Come on. Come on, Mr. President. Come on. As far as his question, he said that one of the goals of Ambassador Holbrooke, as he's traveling throughout the region, is to deliver a message to Pakistan that they're endangered as much as we are by the continuation of those terrorist operations. And again, I think he's either being disingenuous or doesn't want to panic anybody. Pakistan is a country that is about 2 inches away from being run by Taliban sympathizers. The Pakistan military, I'll bet you within 90 days, there will be a removal of the civilian government and the Pakistan military will take over, which is chock-a-block with Taliban.
faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Ah, 25 before the hour. Before we check out of here tonight, about 20 minutes, let me apologize again for coughing and hacking and wheezing into the microphone here. I missed the dump button a couple of times, the mute button a couple of times. That's why we're doing 2 hours tonight. If you've gotten this bronchial mess that's going around, you know what I'm talking about. Robert Perry, again, writing at Consortium News, pretty much lays out what the Obama presidency is up against. You know, whether I mean, if you're a full-blown, dyed-in-the-wool, left-leaning liberal, you don't look at the Obama presidency with all that much favor. If you are a fairly standard Democrat or a liberal who is willing to make some accommodations because you live in the real world, that's where I consider myself, then you see his presidency as having great potential, first of all, because I honestly believe the man is honest. I think he is basically honest. I also think he is empathetic. I think he's also sympathetic. And he's a very, very well-educated, brilliant man. He just is. Unlike this last monster that squatted in the Oval Office for 8 years. So, you know, I'm still on the Obama bandwagon, not to the point where, you know, I'm pounding drums and clashing cymbals, but to the point where, you know, criticism is fair and expected against this administration if there is something legitimate to criticize. And there is. We're probably not going to get to it tonight, but there is abundance of issues with which to disagree where it concerns the Obama administration policies, and we don't know that they're policies. You know, how long has the guy been in office? Jesus Christ, hasn't even been a month. So, you know, this kind of stuff, we are used to the 22-minute newscast, such as it is. We're used to the 30-minute sitcom. Give me resolution before the program's over. Yada, yada, yada. So, and the further we have gotten into the television age, the internet age, you know, just the internet. If we don't get, you know, we're downloading something, it doesn't come immediately. You know, it's like, oh my God, what's wrong with the computer? Politics does not work that way, especially when you're running a country that has been so just absolutely bitch slapped into the ground like this one has by the Republicans. So, again, there are many things to be challenging and critical of where it concerns the Obama administration, and I'm sure it'll continue for the 8 years that he's going to be president. But my overview, I don't know what yours is, my overview is this man is genuine. He wants to do things right, and I think he understands the political boundaries such as they are, and where to push and where not to push. This is just real politic. It would be great, in a sense, if we could just have a fire-breathing liberal take over the government of the United States. But it would also be fairly, at this point, in my opinion, catastrophic. Baby steps. As Obama said regarding the mess that we're in diplomatically, foreign policy-wise, the economy, everything. We didn't get here overnight. It took a while to get here. It's going to take a while to get us out. So, again, while criticism, legitimate criticism, policy criticism is fair and expected, and certainly will come from this program, just to be an Obama basher for no reason other than the fact that I'm a scum-sucking Republican, which is what these people do, that's off the table for me. But Perry, Robert Perry, points out that just a few weeks into this presidency, in Perry's words, a threatening political and media dynamic has rushed to the fore, cutting short a very brief honeymoon. Perry says the Republicans and their right-wing media allies are doing whatever they can to strangle the Obama phenomenon in its cradle. The mainstream media pundits are stressing the negative, so they don't get called in the tank for Obama. And the Democrats are shying away from holding the Bush-Cheney administration accountable for its crimes. Perry goes on, none of these developments is particularly surprising. Indeed, they track closely to the political media pattern that took shape the last time a young Democrat won the White House, when Bill Clinton became president in 1993. Back then, the spirited Republicans got a lift from the loud voice of Rush Limbaugh, who used his popular three-hour radio show to pillory Bill and, Hillary Clinton. That, in turn, encouraged the congressional Republicans to vote as a bloc against Clinton's budget and economic plan. And let me digress. You'll remember, I don't know if you remember or not, but in 1994, when the Republican Revolution, their contract on America, and the lies and the filth that Newt Gingrich dumped into the political discourse in a very genius-like way. I mean, scum always figures out a way to rise to the top. And what Congress it was, but one of the first things they did was to make Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of that Congress because of his constant filling the airwaves with right-wing propaganda without let-up. And that was 15 years ago, and the son of a bitch is still on the air. And again, shame on the networks, shame on the syndicators, shame on the stations that carry this pig. He's a drug-addled freak who drove himself deaf by the illegal use of prescription drugs. He's a drug abuser. He sent his house cleaner out to score street drugs for him. What a pig, what a pimp, what a piece of human waste. And the fact that the Republican members of Congress appear on a show, do what he says, fully, completely, without equivocation, describes how in the toilet the Republican Party is, and it needs to be flushed. It just needs to be flushed. Perry says mainstream journalists also used the early Clinton years to disprove the right's old canard about the liberal press. As one senior news executive told me, quote, we're going to show that we can be tougher on a Democrat than any Republican, end quote. Yeah, and now that's going to happen again. And as one of my emailers said tonight, this is the same press, the same media that just pissed its pants every time Bush or Cheney threatened them. Every time, what's his name, Rumsfeld or any of these Nazi criminals threaten the press. They just peed all over themselves. Oh, no, we won't say anything. Oh, my God. When the New York Times had the absolute temerity to publish the story about the illegal wiretapping and the extent to which it was occurring and the criminal the impeachable activity by the Bush crime family. Members of Congress said that John, I'm blank on his last name, don't email it to me, but the editor of the New York Times should be arrested for treason, for Christ's sake. This is how sick the Republican Party is. It's how sick it was during the Clinton years, how it's become even sicker. Again, the Republican Party needs to be utterly and absolutely destroyed, just murdered. It has to be. And the best way to do that is for this administration to ignore these bastards. They will self-destruct. They will commit suicide because they are so screwed up. Robert Perry at consortiumnews.com went on, the Republican determination to destroy Clinton infected the political system with an ugly virus of hyperpartisanship. The right-wing media ramped up its hate talk. Mainstream journalism lost its way, wandering into a strange landscape of garish sensationalism and shallow news reporting. And the Democrats failed to counteract the threat posed by the neocons who surfaced during the national security scandals of the Reagan-Bush 1 years. In short, the dynamic that took shape in 1993 and 94 against Clinton carried the United States into the catastrophic presidency of Bush 8 years later. So it's, you know, these pigs, the Republicans, this unanimous vote against in the House against Obama's stimulus package. And the refusal of Senate Republicans to join in any kind of meaningful discussion about this makes it clear that they are worse than useless. These are terrorists. These are domestic terrorists. They want the country to fail, for God's sake. They want exactly what anyone who attacked this country on September 11, 2001 wanted. The real internal terrorists are the Republicans. I mean, isn't that clear? Rush Limbaugh is a bigger threat to this country than Osama bin Laden. He's a bigger threat than anybody that the CIA can invent. He's a bigger threat than any terrorist that ever leveled its sights against the United States. Limbaugh is. So why isn't he arrested and sentenced for treason? Before the hour, thanks to the crew tonight, Ian Huff for engineering, Ben Birch, who is our technical advisor, and then the usual crew who help this show be what it is. That would include Sharon Gordy and Prairie 2, along with Bridget Wolf and Bob Alexander. Bruce Enberg, or Prairie 2, however you want to call him. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. And we will be back tomorrow at the regular time and hopefully do the whole 3 hours. Regarding what Perry wrote about again today, about the attack, a full-scale attack by the Republican scum in Congress, in both houses, and this filthy corporate-dominated media. But he writes, one excited Republican congressman, this Pete Sessions of Texas, whoever he is, compared the Republican insurrectionist tactics to those of the Taliban, the group that is, the radical group that's battling U.S. forces in Afghanistan. This is what Sessions said during a meeting with editors of the National Journal's hotline, a National Journal being a right-wing rag. He said, quote, insurgency. Well, we understand perhaps a little bit more because of the Taliban, and that is what they went about systematically, referring to Republicans, understanding how to disrupt and change a person's entire processes, end quote. And then he kind of caught himself, so he added, I'm not trying to say the Republican Party is a Taliban. Dumb bastard. No, that's not what we're saying. I'm saying that we need to understand that insurgency may be required when the other side, the House leadership, does not follow the same commands which we entered the game with, whatever the hell that means. But either inadvertently or because he's a dumbass Texas Republican member of Congress, take your pick, he pretty much has identified the Republican Party. They are an insurgency group that has become embedded in the Congress of the United States. And every member of the Republican Party needs to be put on trial and charged with treason, along with their leader, Rush Limbaugh, Joe the dumbass, and what's her name, Sarah Palin. They really do. What they are doing to the country is more of terrorist activity than any external force could ever apply. And this little piglet, Pete Sessions of Texas, identified the whole thing. There it is. Yeah, we're like the Taliban. Oh, yeah, we are. We're insurrectionists. Yeah, we are. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say we're like the Taliban? Well, what I mean is that we're following this the same tactics as the Taliban. So having identified himself and the Republican Party, of course, this little twit is looking for some kind of a leadership position with the base of the Republican Party, and that is the screwballs in this country, the real moonbats who are willing to be led right over the edge of a cliff by the Republican leadership, which is Rush Limbaugh, Joe the Plumber, and Sarah Palin, right over the edge of a cliff. So this guy, this Republican congressman from Texas, would like to have a piece of that action because he figures it'll get him on the news, it'll make him rich, and it might enamor him with Jesus. I mean, according to these thugs, Jesus just loves. The further right you can go, the more Jesus wants you in heaven, wants to rapture you. You know, I mean, it's that sick. These people are that sick. Now, in the Senate, only three Republicans, like we mentioned earlier, Snow, Collins, and Specter, joined with Democrats to support this compromise stimulus bill. And the only reason they supported it is because the proportion of tax cuts was increased, and the spending on schools and hard-pressed state governments was reduced. So when you stop and think, well, Olympia Snow, Susan Collins, and Arlen Specter are moderate Republicans, no, they're not. No, they're not. I know that the Snow and Collins, their voting record sometimes indicates that they are so-called moderate Republicans, but they're still Republicans. And they are just as complicit in trying to overthrow the government of this country and send this country into chaos as John Boehner or Mitch McConnell or the rest of these anti-patriots. So the bill cleared the Senate 61-37 today, and it now goes to a conference committee, House and Senate, to as it's so prosaically put, to iron out differences. Yeah, to iron out differences. My hiney. This is where the Republicans will start squeaking and screaming, and where the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, will start doing everything he can as the leader of the Republican Party to destroy. Remember, you know, Rush Limbaugh makes $25 million a year. Think about that. $500,000 every week. That's what he makes. And he tries to, and he's convinced so many working class or unemployed now Americans that he speaks for them. It's amazing, just amazing how this obese, drug-addled bastard has been able to do this. I mean, it's all right with me, but let's call a rose a rose and a piece of human dung a piece of human dung. Multi-multi-millionaire liar and propagandist who gets on the air every day and continues to spread the deceit. And yet so many working class and unemployed Americans say, oh, yeah, that's my man. Oh, Jesus. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. right, all right, all right. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry I was gone yesterday. Just can't seem to shake this, either viral or bacterial or whatever the hell it is, cold. Like I said, it's either that or lung cancer, although my doctor seems to think it's just a real nasty infection. And earlier this evening, I had a talk with Anita Drobny, who is our CEO. And she said, "You're not going on the air tonight." After listening to me on the phone, I said, "Yeah, I got to." She said, No. Take another night off." I said, No. I've got to get on the air." So what we're going to do tonight is 2 hours. First 2 hours of the show, and then we're going to rebroadcast, I believe, the first hour. So, all right? Okay. What's been fun to watch, though, on the internets is all the conspiracy stuff going around. "Well, you know, Randy's off the air, and now Malloy's off the air. What's going on?" I'm sorry, I can get as tinfoil hat as anybody else, but good God in heaven, come on, folks, ease up. You know, where it concerns, "Oh, Nova M this and Randy that." Come on, take a break. There's some serious business between Randy Rhodes and management. It has nothing to do with anything that I have seen on any of these web pages. Nothing. It's internal company business, and frankly, it's nobody's business except the people involved. I don't know why I'm going off on this. I get so tired of seeing this stuff, you know? There's some real problems out there. Why don't you focus on that? So again, let me say that every conspiracy theory I've seen on every website, every message board, including hers, has it 100% wrong. I'm going to drop it. That's internal company stuff, and nobody cares about that. Not in the real world. I mean, you know. So it's come out now. Wall Street and the financial thugs don't like the Obama plan, and neither do the corporate news readers on the networks and most of them on the cable channels. And it's real entertaining. It's starting to become entertaining to watch these dumb bastards flail and flounder around. It's also entertaining to watch Barack Obama finally start to realize, I think, that cooperation from these filthy Republicans is absolutely never going to happen. He's got the majorities that he needs. He's got three Republicans in the Senate who, as they did the Senate version of the whatever the hell you want to call it, the financial crisis plan, three Republicans who are willing to cross over if you cut certain things. That's Colin Snow and Specter. So, you know, I really do think, this is just my little personal opinion, that Barack Obama ought to just forget about these filthy, stinking Republicans. They're just like the Republicans back in 93 who launched just a full-scale attack on Clinton because of his tax increases when they were desperately needed. And we know what happened in the 90s. Now, you can say, "Yeah, but look what happened. It all crashed." That had nothing to do with Clinton. That had to do with the speculation that resulted from, Clinton made a big mistake in 96 when he signed the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. And I'm the first to admit that. He never should have done it. But remember, Clinton was a Republican. I don't care what the D after his name, he was a Republican. So here go these slime balls, these worms that now constitute and have constituted the Republican Party for the past 25 years. The fact that they are doing everything they can to make negative what this president is trying to do is becoming comical. It really is. You know, the leaders of the Republican Party, Sarah Palin, Joe the Plumber, and Rush Limbaugh, are almost amusing to watch. Were all this stuff not so serious, it would be kind of amusing. But if Barack Obama were to call me this evening and say, "Mike, what should I do?" My advice would be simple. Ignore these bastards. Just ignore them. They don't mean anything. They have no value. Excuse me. I'm supposed to hit the mute button when I do that. I do apologize. They have no value whatsoever, Republicans. None. Especially Republicans in Congress. The Republicans in media are almost as bad, but they are just paid corporate shills. So if you want to listen to the network news and these guys on cable news have at it, but keep in mind that nothing they say is true. Absolutely nothing. What a bunch of rat bastards. But anyway, the best sign that the proposals may work is the fact that the financial industry and, you know, the thugs and corporate America, even though the Chamber of Commerce has endorsed this, as have the AFL-CIO, but never mind, the people who have made, who make these public pronouncements, what they're saying doesn't matter. Forget about them. There are so many things that need to be done. And President Obama is going to move forward. And I hope he just forgets the kissy face with these jackasses in the House and the Senate. He does not need them. Just move ahead. Three stinking Republicans in the entire House and the Senate. Three have supported the efforts by the Obama administration to try to pull this country back from the brink. And that speaks volumes. So just like the attacks on Clinton yielded nothing, Clinton hanged himself when he started messing around with this, Monica Lewinsky. He hanged himself on that. And the Republicans, you know, for that, I just forever will hate him. What a jerk. You know, what an idiot, giving these rat bastard Republicans, the other Republicans, in addition to Clinton, all the ammunition they needed. So what is going on is a full frontal attack on these policies. And if Obama ignores them, I do believe there is a chance, a damn good chance of things succeeding. And 2 years from now and 4 years from now, when elections are held again, I think the people are going to realize that the Republican Party needs to be murdered. It needs to be taken out in a field and have its head cut off. It needs to be smothered, a knife in its heart. And that's the only thing that's going to save the United States, whether it is our whatever's left of our morality or our ethics or our financial stability or the so-called Great American Dream. In order for any of this to succeed, the Republican Party has to be smothered. It has become worse than useless. It has now become an absolute drag on everything. It needs to be murdered. Okay? And boy, do I mean that with from the bottom of my heart. Three Republicans out of all the Republicans in the House and Senate support the Obama plan. 76% of the public does. What does that tell you? So, and Obama now is starting to take on his critics. He made a show of reaching across the aisle. Since he was elected, he's got what, three Republicans in his cabinet. He's been inviting all these slime into the White House. God forbid his children should be around when these Republican slime come oozing into the White House. I hope he puts them upstairs somewhere and shuts the door to keep his children away from these negative bastards. But the other night, I'm laying in bed watching the press conference. And we have some sound from that we're going to play for you tonight. But it occurred to me then, maybe, just maybe, this man is coming out of the ether and realizing that Republicans stink, and just getting close to them, corrupts anything, everything. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Change.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Well, you can turn up your speakers now. I mean, right? Now that we have left the land of the crazy people, at least we're trying to. So Obama has decided to take on some of these rat bastards who can do nothing for him. That is Republicans. He began yesterday a week of barnstorming that took him to Indiana the other day, Elkhart, Indiana, and today to Florida. And it was astonishing. The town hall meeting that he had today in Florida, where was that? In Lee County, Fort Myers? Yeah, I think it was Fort Myers. The town hall meeting that he had there after he gave, he gave a little speech and then he opened it up. And here's the interesting thing. This is true in Elkhart also. There's no screening process. Okay, they screen people that come in for weapons. But nobody is told to leave because of a T-shirt they're wearing. The questions don't have to be submitted first. The way it was in these filthy, goddamn Bush days. Boy, I am so glad that's over. Aren't you, huh? Those rotten, rotten Republicans. So with an Obama town hall meeting, it's more or less a real town hall meeting. People get to ask questions. Now, when I listened today, I didn't hear anything coming out of the ragged-ass mouth of some of these Republicans, I guess because they knew that if they opened their traps, the audience would probably descend on them and hang them from the nearest tree. So if there were Republicans in the audience, and one assumes there were, they shut up, which is what Republicans who aren't elected should do. The Republican Party needs to be murdered. If somebody wants to say, I'm a Republican, okay, just shut up, especially in these town hall meetings, which apparently they have decided to do. Because at neither the Elkhart, Indiana town hall meeting or the one today, did I hear any Republican little squeaky rat bastard standing, well, what about, these are people who are genuinely concerned about what to do. But the difference in listening to Obama, it's astonishing. Whether you agree with him or not, I put this on my little tiny eensy beatsy mini blog today. To hear a guy talk, the President of the United States, talk in complete sentences, paragraphs, be able to handle a multi-part a question with sentences that are compound sentences. You don't hear Barack Obama talking about things like go hunt down, go find him, wanted dead or alive, bring him on. You know, this garbage that came out of this George Bush's mouth for 8 years. Jesus, how did we survive that? So Obama is, I think he's waking up. Like he said at the news conference, it's a little hard for me to take criticism from folks about this recovery package after they presided over a doubling of the national debt. I'm not sure they have a lot of credibility when it comes to fiscal responsibility. Well, yeah, and it's about time. Obama is not going to be the type to get hard and tough and kick ass and take names. He's not going to do it. It's not his style. I think he's made that very clear. But I think what he could do, it's just ignore them. Ignore them. And get about the business of trying to undo the damage of 8 years of Bush and about 12 years of Republican control. And if he does that, if he just ignores these swine, I think he'll be way, way ahead of the game.
Leave that up.
What we're going to play for you here in a moment is six or seven sound clips from his primetime press conference last night. And I think not just the things he said, but the way he said them. I realize that this president is lacking in a whole lot of areas that liberals, real liberals or progressives, would like to see him not lack in. But for the most part, I can't help it. I will remain a critic of some of the policies or lack of policies, like a policy of going after these Republican bastards. I'll remain a critic of this administration. But I'm starting to feel like there's some leadership in the country again. It may be a little bit shaky here at the beginning, but dear God, I mean, after 8 years of the Bush bastards and these scum-sucking Republicans who were only there to enrich themselves, it is good to see somebody back in charge who seems to be truly concerned about the American people. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Triple-sided, tried to write it, looked inside it, I can't find it, living in a perfect world. I touch the rocks, I touch the stones, it's the little things that break these bones, living in this perfect world. When I
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. All right, what we want to play for you is some of the clips from Obama's primetime press conference yesterday. And the amazing thing is the contrast, not that Obama is not a great speaker on his own, but the contrast between this president and the previous one is just, I mean, we would not have had to deal with the decider had it not been for the Supreme Court on December 12th, 2000, who overthrew the Constitution, overthrew the government, and installed a piece of human waste as president, and then allowed him to surround himself, the Democrats allowed him to surround himself with neo-Nazis of the worst kind. I think history is going to tell the truth and identify the Bush years, the Bush presidency, as the worst in the history of this country in terms of what it did to the Constitution. You know, I don't give a damn about the other stuff, the economic stuff. Yeah, that goes in cycles. Blah, 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 blah. But what Bush did in terms of absolute criminality. Anyway, I digress. Obama speaks intelligently. He speaks in complete sentences with subject-verb agreement. He doesn't drift off on off topic or forget the question. So he, in contrast to the jackass that was there before him. So after his speech, he took some questions. Most of the questions revolved around the stimulus bill, naturally. And Obama finally took a few swipes at the Bush crime family's disastrous economic policy before he took questions. This is before he took questions. This is from his opening remarks.
As we've learned very clearly, especially tax cuts that are targeted to the wealthiest few Americans, we have tried that strategy time and time again, and it's only helped lead us to the crisis we face right now.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we have come together around a plan that combines hundreds of billions in tax cuts for the middle class with direct investment in areas like healthcare, energy, education, and infrastructure. Investments that will save jobs, create new jobs and new businesses, and help our economy grow again, now and in the future.
And this is what the Republicans and the swine who occupy the newsreader chairs, or like this pig on Morning Joe, Scarborough and his sidekick, Mika Brzezinski, who has certainly turned out to be a disappointment. But this is what they are doing, attacking him. You know, I do believe the guy wants to, within the strictures, within the framework, the parameters that he has to work within, I think he really, really wants to turn things around. Why wouldn't he? He's not a Republican. Why wouldn't he want to turn things around? He takes some questions from the press here. As a matter of fact, it went on for about an hour. This reporter asked, Mr. President, earlier today in Indiana, you said something striking. You said that this nation could end up in a crisis without action that we would be unable to reverse. Can you talk about what you know and what you're hearing that would lead you to say that our recession might be permanent when other recessions in our history have not?
This is not your ordinary run-of-the-mill recession. We are going through the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We've lost now 3.6 million jobs, but what's perhaps even more disturbing is that almost half of that job loss has taken place over the last 3 months, which means that the problems are accelerating instead of getting better. My bottom line is to make sure that we are saving or creating 4 million jobs. We are making sure that the financial system is working again, that homeowners are getting some relief. And I'm happy to get good ideas from across the political spectrum, from Democrats and Republicans. What I won't do is return to the failed theories of the last 8 years that got us into this fix in the first place, because those theories have been tested, and they have failed. And that's part of what the election in November was all about.
Boy, you bet that's what the election in November was all about, even though 53 million dumbasses voted for more of the same, you know, torture me, beat me, kick me, but don't let the queers get married. Oh, my God. I can't believe so many. Well, yes, I can. Of course I can. We are a very dumb population, very stupid, very ignorant. Not you. Certainly not me. Not you. You know. You know what I'm talking about. He says he's happy to get good ideas from across the political spectrum. There are no good ideas coming from Republicans. Republicans are dealers in death, destruction, darkness. They're bums. They're freeloaders. They are not interested in doing anything good for this country or this economy. And again, when he says that's part of what the election in November was all about, you bet it was. The next reporter said, you've often said that bipartisanship is extraordinarily important overall and in the stimulus package. But now, when we ask your advisors about the lack of bipartisanship so far, zero votes in the House, three in the Senate, they say, well, it's not the number of votes that matters. It's the number of jobs that would be created. Is that a sign that you are moving away, your White House is moving away from this emphasis on bipartisanship?
I can't afford to see Congress play the usual political games. What we have to do right now is deliver for the American people. So my bottom line when it comes to the recovery package is send me a bill that creates or saves 4 million jobs. Because everybody has to be possessed with a sense of urgency about putting people back to work, making sure that folks are staying in their homes, that they can send their kids to college. What I've been concerned about is some of the language that's been used, suggesting that this is full of pork and this is wasteful government spending, so on and so forth. First of all, when I hear that from folks who presided over a doubling of the national debt, then I just want them to not engage in some revisionist history. I inherited the deficit that we have right now and the economic crisis that we have right now.
You're damn right. And the attitude of the reporter's question, you know, what a dumbass. When he says to the president, you have often said that bipartisanship is important. And then who was this creep? It was probably Ed Henry or one of these other freaks. But he says, now when we ask your advisors about the lack of bipartisanship, they say, well, it's not the number of votes that matter. the number of jobs to be created. You're damn right. Well, you know, why doesn't this little twit go ask the Republican leadership? Go ask Rush Limbaugh or Sarah Palin or Joe the Plumber. Go ask them, the leaders of the Republican Party, why they are obstructionist little bastards who are not going to do anything to rescue this country. Don't ask Obama, you jerk. He continues to answer the question about bipartisanship efforts on the stimulus package, and he shoots down so many of the tired old partisan neocon George Bush arguments.
When people suggest that what a waste of money to make federal buildings more energy efficient, why would that be a waste of money?
Really?
We're creating jobs immediately by retrofitting these buildings or weatherizing 2 million Americans' homes, as was called for in the package. So that right there creates economic stimulus. And we are saving taxpayers, when it comes to federal buildings, potentially $2 billion. In the case of homeowners, they will see more money in their pockets. And we're reducing our dependence on foreign oil in the Middle East. Why wouldn't we want to make that kind of investment?
Really?
Education. Yet another example. The suggestion is, why should the federal government be involved in school construction? Well, I visited a school down in South Carolina that was built in the 1850s. Kids are still learning in that school as best they can. It's right next to a railroad, and when the train runs by, the whole building shakes and the teacher has to stop teaching for a while. The auditorium is completely broken down. They can't use it. So why wouldn't we want to build state-of-the-art schools with science labs that are teaching our kids the skills they need for the 21st century, that will enhance our economy and, by the way, right now, will create jobs? So, you know, we can differ on some of the particulars. But again, the question I think the American people are asking is, do you just want government to do nothing, or do you want it to do something? If you want to do something, then we can have a conversation. But doing nothing, that's not an option from my perspective.
You know, one of these enterprising little crack White House reporters ought to go to the Republican Party leadership and ask that question. Why wouldn't we want to build state-of-the-art schools with science labs that are teaching our kids the skills they need for the 21st century, that will enhance our economy and that will create jobs? Why wouldn't we want to do that? You know, why doesn't somebody ask the leaders of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, Joe the Plumber, and Sarah Palin, and you might want to throw in John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, ask these five halfwits, you know, why would we not want to do that?
Turn on the TV. There's hope. Somebody's acting crazy. There's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause there's hope.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Back to the Obama primetime press conference the other night. Listen to Obama answer this question. And try to imagine Raisin Brain coming up, Bush, coming up with any kind of clear, coherent explanation of the economic mess we're in. The only answer the jackass could deliver was, Wall Street got drunk. What was the rest of your question? What a difference an election makes. The reporter said, in your opening remarks, you talked about that if your plan works the way you want it to work, it's going to increase consumer spending. But isn't consumer spending or overspending how we got into this mess? Now, let me pause. This again shows the absolute idiocy of these reporters. it wasn't consumer spending that got us into this mess. It was the people stopped saving, went on a credit binge. I mean, how can these White House reporters be so goddamn stupid to ask these kinds of questions? But Obama tries to answer. The reporter goes, isn't consumer spending how we got into this mess? And if people get money back into their pockets, do you not want them to saving it or paying down debt first before they start spending money into the economy?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's accurate to say that consumer spending got us into this mess. What got us into this mess initially were banks taking exorbitant wild risks with other people's monies based on shaky assets.
Right.
And because of the enormous leverage where they had $1 worth of assets and they were betting $30 on that $1, what we had was a crisis in the financial system. That led to a contraction of credit, which in turn meant businesses couldn't make payroll or make inventories, which meant that everybody became uncertain about the future of the economy, so people started making decisions accordingly, reducing investment, initiating layoffs, which in turn made things worse. Now, you are making a legitimate point, Chuck, about the fact that our savings rate has declined and this economy has been driven by consumer spending for a very long time. And that's not going to be sustainable. You know, if all we're doing is spending and we're not making things, then over time, other countries are going to get tired of lending us money, and eventually, the party is going to be over. Well, in fact, the party now is over.
Yeah, so maybe it's time to bring manufacturing jobs back into the United States, and by companies, entrepreneurs who are responsible, not these corporate pig bastards, these capitalists who don't care, who only seek a bottom line for them, rather than realizing that labor, organized labor, labor that makes a decent living, is the only thing that has ever driven this economy. Yeah, maybe it's time. But you know, the only answer the jackass could come up, did you hear his answer? I mean, it's multifaceted. It's got subject, sub-subject, it's got context, it's got an explanation that even some idiot like Chuck Todd could understand. And it is so far removed from the Bush bastard standing there saying, Wall Street got drunk. What was the rest of your question? Jesus God. And that's what we would have, that's what we got from the jerk. That's all we ever got from him. My brain is starting to spin from the sense this guy is making. Hard to believe. Obama continues to explain the economic disaster and what it will take to recover using complete sentences and not once forgetting what the topic was.
Our immediate job is to stop the downward spiral. And that means putting money into consumers' pockets. It means loosening up credit. It means putting forward investments that not only employ people immediately, but also lay the groundwork for long-term economic growth. And that's why passing the economic recovery plan is the right thing to do, even though I recognize that it's expensive. Look, I would love not to have to spend money right now. This notion that somehow I came in here just ginned up to spend $800 billion. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't how I envisioned my presidency beginning. But we have to adapt to existing circumstances. Now, once the economy stabilizes and people are less fearful, then I do think that we're going to have to start thinking about how do we operate more prudently, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. So if you want to buy a house, then putting zero down and buying a house that is probably not affordable for you in case something goes wrong, that's something that has to be reconsidered. So we're going to have to change our bad habits. But right now, the key is making sure that we pull ourselves out of the economic slump that we're in.
Can you imagine Bush even attempting an answer like that? That was the part that was just astonishing to me, is what the American public, for the most part, and this corrupted, filthy corporate media has become accustomed to over the past 8 years. What has passed for answers from the CEO of the United States or his piece of waste, Dick Cheney. And the reporters, these pigs, these little whiny, thumb-sucking bastards who constitute the White House press corps, who were warned, 8 years ago, don't ask questions out of line. Don't do anything. We'll allow some male prostitute come in here and ask questions, but you guys shut up. Don't ask the wrong question. And so they all obeyed. Every last goddamn one of them, with the exception of Helen Thomas, obeyed and refused to answer Bush or ask Bush questions of substance. The Obama administration has not said that to these little cowardly turkeys. So now, oh, they're coming up with the tough questions. Well, didn't spending get us into this? Jesus. Stick around. We have some more. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.